to On Your Own Terms. I'm Patty Talbot, and this is the place where we learn together what it takes to change the world on our own terms and in our own special way. Today, I'm honored to have with me a new friend, Jen Mott, who is a school administrator at one of the biggest high schools in Ohio. She comes to us from Cincinnati, Ohio, and you're going to learn about Jen's homegrown solutions for a patchwork world in her own words. I was fortunate to come across Jen in the Heroic Public Speaking program, a program called HPS Grad, where we were students together last fall. And in the spring, I finally met her in person and was able to relate to her and find her infectious personality and her enthusiasm and true, deep, passionate love for public education and for students and for making schools the very best places we can to bring out the very best in the students and the families we serve. But as you'll learn in Jen's story, there's a secret talent behind her awesome skills as a teacher and an administrator and as a champion for education. She brings a special skill set that delights and inspires. And in recent years, she's figured out a way to bring those special talents, I'm not going to break the secret to you, those special talents together with her talents and gifts as an educator. So, Jen, I'm eager to hear your homegrown solutions for a patchwork world. And we'll talk a little more at the end. Welcome, Jen Mott.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Love the work you're doing and love following, especially from one educator to another. So I am born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I am the product of two school teachers and one stayed in school teaching her whole career, my mom, and then my dad was a teacher, turned into a school administrator, and ended his career as a college level administrator, so went into higher education. He still does consulting work throughout the country and really the world with accreditation. And so I just grew up in a house full of educators, not only just the two of them, but really our whole family is educators. So I always knew I wanted to be a teacher, and I always saw the power that the teachers had on me and the impact that they had on me. And I just wanted that same thing for others because of the mentors and the teachers that I had who built into me. So I went to the same school, kindergarten through 12th grade, had a really great experience, super supported, encouraged the whole time. Was a student athlete playing volleyball, basketball, and lacrosse, and loved the student athlete world. And when I graduated high school, I knew that I wanted to become a teacher. And by the end of high school, I was fortunate to get to three summers in a row of European vacations. And after traveling to Europe, I knew I loved Spain and I knew I loved the Spanish language and culture. So I decided to teach Spanish and went into UC, University of Cincinnati. And I got to be not only a student there learning about teaching high school Spanish, but then I also got to be a student athlete playing Division I college lacrosse. And did that, had a phenomenal experience, went straight into my master's program, curriculum instruction, also education. And so by the time I started teaching, I already had my master's in education with a lot of kind of long-term goals, but I was a really happy high school Spanish teacher, volleyball, basketball, lacrosse coach, giving back in the same way that people had impacted me. And that was really exciting to be able to do that right away and have just kind of a clear vision and just see it through. And then over the years now in my career, I've been over a decade into education now, and I've been in 6 buildings in 5 districts, and I've just loved every second of it. So I currently find myself as an assistant principal and athletic director at one of the largest middle schools in the state of Ohio. And I love it because it blends both my worlds of loving student athletes and loving the world of athletics and the impact that it plays on the school world, but still getting to work with our teachers and our staff to talk about good teaching and learning and what effective teaching and instruction looks like. And I finished my doctoral program at Xavier University a few years back, and now I get to teach at the college level and build into the next generation of school administrators. So I get to work with graduate students who are teachers and who are trying to decide if administration is the right path for them and what school leadership looks like. That's the resume talk, and that's the official, you know, school educator world. But what I haven't mentioned is when I graduated high school, I had the random opportunity to join the circus. And it's as random as it sounds. I joined a company called Cincinnati Circus Company. And now for 16 years, the longest job I've ever held, I have been an entertainer with the Cincinnati Circus. So I'm a juggler and stilt walker, balloon artist, and fire performer with the Cincinnati Circus Company, serving families, communities, organizations, professional athletes from all over the city and really all over the Midwest in that capacity. And so it was a really fun college job turned into a very awesome side hustle that I've been able to keep over the course of my career. It's seen me through college, master's, doctoral program, six different buildings. The consistent job has been the circus. And so all of those other changes have been made, but the circus has been constant. So what's been really neat is the evolution over my career, where I was always keeping the education piece and the circus piece separate. And over time, as I've grown in my career, I saw just this natural meld of the two. And so I've merged them in the last couple of years, where my company has been kind enough to call me the entertaining educator. And now I have started speaking and performing. Whereas before I was just the juggler at a fun, like, end of year celebration. Now I'm coming as an educator who happens to juggle. And I'm coming with a message to students, to staff, to parents, where I can speak and be taken seriously and have a really clear message with my own experience and story, but also I can juggle and I can keep people's attention in different and unique ways. And it's been a really fun way to kind of merge these two passions of mine and see where I'm so excited to see where it continues to take me. I naturally just immediately think to, I know I never want to overlook, there's the global issues, there's our national things that we work through, and I am very passionate about the right people at the right time in the right place for those things. And we all can't solve everything. So it's just like we said, kind of working together and taking up kind of what we can believe in and what we can make a change towards. And if we all take up our own kind of passions and encourage, like, what we are encouraged to follow, then really we can make the changes in our own and collectively. So for me, I just love school and I love students and I love the work I do, both at the middle school level, now working with middle school students. I've worked with middle and high school students, but now also at the college level, working with college students who are graduate level and trying to figure out what's next and how, if we have strong leaders growing new leaders, then it's only going to get better. And so for me, what I see is students who have the entire world at their fingertips and don't know how to use that, because that's a power that we've never had. We've never been able to give that power to middle school students. And as a result, there's a level of motivation that needs to occur for teachers and parents who feel like, because they have the world at their fingertips, well, how do I engage them? How do I talk to them differently? And so what I see is this really interesting crossroads that we're at in the educational world of teaching students that this is not the bad thing, it's how we use it, and that it can be used for good. And so we are working with our students and our staff in our own community to create kind of our own boundaries around that and what that looks like, in a way where the language is not that it's bad, it's just that we don't necessarily have the language, or the middle school students don't have the capacity yet, not to any fault of their own, to know how to use that tool for good. But man, there's such power here. And so for a teacher to say, this is what's bad, that's not the correct way, right? It's really about how students are using it and leveraging that power in the proper ways, in the proper channels. It's also for the adults to flip the switch of how we used to think and what we used to decide was the right path for students, that we need to understand that that's not the right path necessarily, that that was our right path, but there are so many jobs that are created every day because of the technology that we can't even fathom. We don't know how people make money off of that. And I know you can think of examples right now. It's like, how does anyone make money doing X, Y, and Z? But they do. And the reality is, we can't go off our old script. There's a new script being written. And so it's creating this kind of like meeting point between the teaching and educator generation and the ones who are the students now, and being able to come together and say, how can we make this work for all of us? What are the skills we have that we can teach to them, but also what can we learn from them and actually leverage from their ability? It's very hard for me when educators are saying how frustrating it is when they see students use their phones, because really they're doing exactly what we would do if we would have had that at that age. They're not doing anything differently. It's exactly how we would have been. We just didn't have that opportunity. We didn't have that tool. We had passing notes or whatever it was. And so it's really just about using that tool in the right way and encouraging educators to meet the students where they are and see, okay, well, how can we come together to make this work for all of us? Is you see the rapid changes that have occurred with students and what students look like now. So as a result, you've got a bunch of teachers or educators who are figuring out how they teach this new generation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you hear the rise of teacher burnout and teacher frustration. The conversation always right now is about teachers and how much we're losing teachers. And there's so many teachers quitting in droves, and COVID having such a high impact on teachers who are leaving. But in fact, every single year, every spring, every school across America is celebrating teachers who are retiring after 35 years, 37 years. So yes, there is truth there. People are leaving. But every single spring, we're planning celebration, retirement celebrations for teachers who have stayed for 30 plus years. And so what I wanted to do with my doctoral research was give a voice to those teachers who have stayed. And so I focused on the study of teacher perseverance and what kept the teachers going. And I wanted to give them a voice and have them teach us. And not only for the teachers to learn, but also for school administrators and school leaders to understand how can we recruit and retain teachers well, and really give credence to the work that the teachers have done who have stayed the longest. Because you've got the new teachers that you focus time on, you've got the kind of mid-level teachers who have maybe are super excited about really building into the others. And then you've got this whole group of teachers who a lot of times feel forgotten or feel left out or feel like things are changing too quickly. And they're like, oh, I've seen this before. And how do we kind of really empower them to feel like they can be part of the process and part of what's happening, and how can we learn from them? And so I was able to do a mixed method study where I talked to teachers, gave them a survey, a grit survey where they got a grit score. And then I also got to talk to them and do a qualitative part of the study where I said, what is keeping you? What are the pieces that are really keeping you if you think about it? And what they said was that it was all about community, and it was all about contextual joy, and it was all about it being the only option, not in an exasperated way of this is it, this is all I can imagine, but really in a positive, like I can't imagine doing something else. I was called to this. I was made for this. And then that leads to the fourth one, which is teaching as a higher calling. And so then really feeling like it's not just a job. This is something they were called to do, whatever that higher power is, but that ability to really supersede the minute details and the kind of stuff that happens day to day. And for them to see that higher purpose of like, that stuff has to happen so that I can have this impact on the student or on this teacher. And I love to say that we're in the people business. We get to work with people. So many other jobs, I am a huge believer that all jobs serve a purpose and every job is important. But I always say I could never sit around personally and just talk about money and how much money we made. And so I love that we get to sit around and talk about students and student growth and how students are doing. And I love that that's what our meetings are about. And that we are always building into people. We all have people that we can remember from school that made us really grow and also hurt us in the other way. And so being able to be that person for them in a positive way is what I love bringing every day. And then empowering and working with those teachers to see that teacher perseverance is possible. And from the school leader side, how much I have an impact on that as well. in the professional sense, something really neat about the district that I serve in right now is we're super large. We're about 10,000 students, K-12, one of the largest high schools, one of the largest districts in Ohio. What I love is that we have what we call three big rocks. So it's three big focus areas for the whole district. And it's been the same three big rocks for all the years that our superintendent has been there. So been 4 or 5 years now. Well, the three big rock idea is there's culture, there's personalized learning, and there's inclusive excellence. And the reason they're called the three big rocks is it's the visual of a jar. And if you want to put sand, water, and rocks in the jar, if you put the sand or the water in, the three big rocks don't fit in the jar. But if you put rocks in first, the three rocks, then you can put sand and water in and you've got all of them in there. And so the idea is these three big rocks come first. That's the vision. So one of those is inclusive excellence. And inclusive excellence for us is all about the total inclusion piece. So that's not just race, that's religion, that's what we look like, that's how we feel, that's our complete just background. We talk about equity, we talk about all of those things. And we have an entire inclusive excellence team. We have a person at the district level whose entire job revolves around making sure we are creating inclusive experiences for our students and staff. And that has given me all of the training that has come out of that has given me a real appreciation for our diverse students and staff. We have a very diverse set of students. We are very close to many people in the country know Cincinnati as Cincinnati Children's. We're very close to one of the most popular and well-known hospitals in the entire world. So we actually have people who travel from all over the world to send their kids there who are sick and need to get treatment, specialized treatment. And so we have a lot of that. And then we also have Procter & Gamble is a global corporation. And so we have a lot of students who come from Procter & Gamble families. We have dozens of languages spoken in our district. And so not only speaking to the language piece, but also you talk about like special services, students with special needs. We talk about our LGBTQ plus community. We are an incredibly inclusive district. And wherever there are holes, because no district's perfect, we are always willing to get better. So there's always like training and development wherever we are trying to improve. And so if there's ever any like sort of crack in like how our students are acting towards each other, we always go back to the students know the term inclusive excellence. We always go back to, we are a school that is about inclusive excellence. How does this align with inclusive excellence? And our staff thinks about experiences. We call them mirrors and window experiences. The mirror being we want to give students experiences where they're seeing their own selves reflected in the work they're doing. That's a mirror experience. And we ask our staff to give our students windows experiences where they're looking through a window at another way of living. And so we want them to have a really good meld of the two, where each day are you giving them a window and a mirror experience so that they can see themselves and learn about others. That's the school piece. And the circus piece, there's a lot of reasons that I've stayed in the circus for 16 years. I know very few college students who work in the circus, and then I still have not met any school administrators or doctoral students who are also in the circus. I'd love to meet them if they exist. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I'm just saying I haven't met them yet. And so one of the many things that has kept me in the circus is the incredibly unique and amazing diversity of that cast. The characters that I've met in the circus are just truly incredible people who, through no fault of their own, I would not know otherwise. Because what we tend to do as we grow up and as we get into our sectors and our fractals and our worlds of professionalism is we just find people who are like us naturally. And we find people who enjoy the same things. That's natural. That's why we have clubs, right? In middle school, in high school. We want to do that. There is a natural growth opportunity there. But what we do is when we get older, we then find these echo chambers that we now, you know, hear about in social media and the news and everything. We find people who think like us and look like us and believe like us and all of that. And what I've always loved about the circus is that it is not that at all. It is such a different group of people. It is how I've learned about transgender up close and personal. It's how I've learned about people choosing different life choices, political choices, all the things up close and personal. And I've been able to see, like, these people are amazing and these people are awesome. And we're all just trying to human to the best of our ability. It has been such an amazing experience to call these people friends for over a decade. Again, through no fault of their own, through my own, I would not have known them otherwise. We would have never crossed paths in other worlds that I'm like associated with. And so one of the reasons that's kept me is it just has continually kept me in this way where I'm meeting different people. I'm getting to know different people. They're getting to meet me. We learn from each other. And what I love about the circus is we don't hire talent. We hire really kind people who just want to meet people and like make people's day. And then we teach the talent. And I love that mindset. And, you know, a lot of people think I could never join the circus. I could never be in that. Look at you guys doing all the fancy things. And I'm like reminding them, I didn't grow up learning how to do this. I practiced and I asked questions and I watched a lot of YouTube and I learned these skills because of the people. So much of that is because when they first met me, they were like, you clearly like meeting people. You like talking to people. You can smile. You're hired. We'll teach you everything else. And I think what a life lesson that is of like, we don't always have to know all the answers or feel like we're the most expert in something. How many times can we just come in with a posture of curiosity and a posture of learning and recognize that we have our own room to grow and our own ability to learn and believe in ourselves. So it's been really fun to like grow and learn new tricks of the trade over the years. I just hope that people leave any interaction from me like feeling loved and feeling cared for. I always want people to feel like responded, heard, cared for, and loved by like interactions with me. I've learned a lot from my brother. I can't have any conversation without talking about my brother because he has traveled to over 130 countries and he's younger than I am. And he's taught me a lot about the concept of being a global citizen and really just understanding the world in such a way where we don't and we won't ever actually understand the world. And so how do we just kind of coexist and love one another? And so for me and my message, I love the entertaining educator. I love merging two worlds together. And so what I hope is that people would invite me to spaces where I can empower and encourage and motivate. I get really excited about talking about a whole host of things. Especially around the realm of motivation, big potential. We can kind of do everything if we put our minds to it. You're capable of more than you know. I'm nothing if not like optimistic and your biggest cheerleader. And so I always just say like, put me in, coach. If you need someone who's going to motivate and just get you excited to like try new things, try something new. During COVID, I started pickleball and then everyone I knew was into pickleball because I just kept talking about it. And I was like, you can play too. And so just that concept, it's not about the pickleball. It's just about telling people you can try something new. You are capable of doing something. And so when we talk about the world, it's like at its simplest core, helping people feel loved and special and able to do more than they can imagine. I just love speaking in front of whether it's small groups of students in a classroom or larger audiences. Last year, I had the opportunity to speak to our entire district. It was over 1,000 people. And it was so fun to have them all in an auditorium and just juggling and getting people up on stage. We had our superintendent eat fire. And we had some principals walk on stilts on stage behind me, showing people like, look at what they can do. It's not just me. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about what does this unlock for you? And it's just been really fun to be on a mission to tell people that they are capable of way more than they can imagine. And especially our students who are hurting or confused or figuring out life and just being able to give them a different vision for their future and tell them that they are capable and that what they see right now is not it. It's not the end. There's way more coming towards them. And they have way more agency the older they get and the longer they stay around to make their own decisions. So those are some of the pieces in the world that I feel like I can try to fit in certain ways. And it's been a fun experiment so far. And I've really enjoyed some of the opportunities I've gotten. And I'm excited for what else is to come. I have mostly naturally worked with educators, but what's been really fun is expanding my reach and the conversation to just be more generic and general leadership and how we can empower and how we can think outside the box and all of that. So something I've started doing is offering balloon animal workshops where I teach adults how to do balloon animals, and I relate it to the work we do and how it's like thinking creatively and learning new things and having empathy for learners, whether it's our own employees who are learning something new that we're training or anything like that. And then of course, like the big potential stuff that I was just sharing. Right now, still connected with the Cincinnati Circus Company, and they have a page for me. It's cincinnaticircus.com/Jen-Mott. I can be found on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, pretty much under Jen Mott or J Mott or any training educator, most places. So I'm happy to connect with anyone, would love to partner in any way, and definitely excited to push the work forward, however anyone gives me the chance.
Jen, thank you so much. I know our audience has been inspired and delighted by the way you brought together your special gifts as a circus performer with your special gifts as an educator to relate to people. I think there's nothing more profound than this ability to connect human to human. And we can do that in traditional ways, of course, by speaking and listening. But when we bring that element of delight and the element of curiosity and the element of hope that you can learn something new and delightful, then you draw people to you in a special way that makes them want to be with you and learn from you and also find the potential within themselves. I know our audience will want to follow you at the sites that you've given us and find opportunities to engage with you. If you're an educator, Jen has shared with you how to do that. If you're a non-educator, there are also ways that you can get in touch with Jen so that she can bring her special gifts to your initiative or organization. I hope you will reach out to her to do that. I also hope you'll reach out to me through blueroadseducation.org to learn about our work to cultivate Changemaker You. There are 16 skills that all changemakers have in common. You can see that Jen has them, and I know you have at least some of them. And my work is cultivating your confidence that you have and can develop all of them so you can change the world on your own terms. So tune in next week on your own terms. In the meantime, may you be grounded in your beingness, guided in your doingness, generous in your connectedness, and inspired in your reflectiveness so you can change the world on your own terms. I'm Patty Talbot. I'm always learning, and I know you are too.